Just going back over this past week, as far as data's concerned out of the United States, we've got some evidence of some slowing in parts of the economy for the fourth quarter. What I'm expecting for the US is that when we get their first read of fourth quarter GDP, it's probably going to have a negative sign on the front of it. In other words, it's had a bit of a double dip recession. But nobody expects that to last long, because when the Biden administration comes in, already there's the announcement that they're going to be boosting the size of the fiscal stimulus. They'll have the power to do that too. So I think most people's view now of where things go over the course of this next year is that, you know, we have that soft fourth quarter for places like the US and Europe. We then start to improve as we go through the course of 2021, and it probably accelerates a fair way beyond. We heard the Fed's view about that last week. There were a number of Fed speakers, including Jerome Powell, and that's fairly much the Fed view. They still think that they'll be able to hold interest rates very, very low for the foreseeable future, but that's something we may need to watch over time. At some point, you know, I think that view is going to change, because the theme which is coming up is that, you know, the bounce in economies, notably so in our own one, Australia, is coming through a lot quicker and more powerfully than is allowed in just about all analyst forecasts at the moment. I'll go into that a bit in a minute. But just some of that data out of the US last week. The strongest part of the economy is still anything relating to industrial production and manufacturing. So, for example, you know, we had the Empire State Survey came out. It's still okay-ish. It was plus 3.5, down a touch from plus 4.9. But we also had industrial production for the month of December, and that was way stronger than expected. It was up 1.6% month on month. The market expected 0.5. And the previous month was revised up to 0.5. So in terms of industrial production, that's really coming along quite strongly. But you go to things like retail sales, and because it took a while before they got that extra stimulus through Congress, then December retail sales were soft again. The headline retail sales number for December was down 0.7% after being down 0.9% the month before. That 0.7% down was against a market expectation of minus 0.2%. Core retail sales, which were expected to rise by 0.1%, were actually down 1.9% month on month. So retail sales, household consumption expenditure, which was the bedrock of growth going back to the huge Q3 growth number, has just gone totally into reverse for the fourth quarter, which is why when we finally get the GDP number, it's for Q4, it's likely to have a negative sign on the front of it. We also had some inflation data out last week out of the United States. Still not acting up yet, but you know, it's probably going to become a little bit more problematic as we go a bit further down the track. The market expected 0.4% month-on-month for the CPI. They got that. And so the annual rate of inflation lifted to 1.4% from 1.2%. The core CPI is meandering between 0.1% and 0.2% a month. It was at 0.1% for the most recent month, and that's around 1.6% year on year, so holding around that level for the time being. But that's the risk as we get the stimulus to the economy starts to pick up further running through 2021, that, you know, we start to see some somewhat higher inflation numbers as we get later in 2021. As far as this week's concerned, well, it's we've got some focus, obviously, on company earnings reports coming out in the United States just to see how companies are faring. We've obviously got the Inauguration Day ceremony coming up on Wednesday, and it's not so much of a ceremony now. It's President-elect Biden talking to a whole load of troops because there's something like 20,000 troops around Washington to try and keep the peace. So watching that one with some care. In some ways it's noise, but it will be a very different inauguration from what we've been used to in the past. Today's quiet because it's Martin Luther King Day holiday there. Some of the data we get out through the course of this week, we'll get some housing data, and right at the leading edge of economic activity, interesting to see whether this holds up okay. We've got the January National Association of Home Builders Index coming out on Wednesday, and We did get a pullback from the extraordinary high level of 90 down to 86 going back to the month of December. They think that's going to lift a little bit again to 88, so hoping to see that a little bit better. We've got housing permits and housing starts later in the week coming out. Housing permits were very strong going back to November, up 5.9%. Expected to see that fall maybe a little, down 1.9%. And housing starts still pretty good, up 1.2% going back to November, likely to lift a further 0.8% on top of that. We also at the end of the week get the manufacturing and services sector PMIs, purchasing managers indices. And these ones for January, the manufacturing PMI was strong, very strong going back to December, 57.1. I think it'll come back a touch to 56.5, but that's still a very strong reading. The services sector PMI, less strong, so we're coming back to about 53.5 from 54.8 going back the previous month. So markets, I think, A, want to get past Inauguration Day, and B, want to see some stability starting to come back to the economic numbers, and also want to see how companies fared through that Q1. So, slightly bumpy as far as risk assets concerned, but the support's really still there in the longer term. So not expecting to see too much weakness coming through the course of this week. China last week, we had some interesting data. We're getting a little bit more inflation in China. We had the December CPI. It was expected to be up 0.4% year-on-year. It was up 0.7. Not too much of a worry yet because purchasing price, PPI, was out as well. And that was still down on a year-on-year basis, minus 0.4%. So there's not a lot of pipeline inflation. Something which is interesting given that China's been difficult in terms of international trade with many of its partners, is that exports are still performing extraordinarily well. There's a reason for this, and that is that this recovery that we've had globally since the end of the COVID recession, the deep COVID recession in the early part of 2020, it's largely been responding to these income support programs around the world, where people have been locked up at home and have wanted to buy goods rather than services. So manufacturing has had a huge backhanded benefit from COVID-19. And, of course, still the workshop of the world, although it's shifting a little, but it's still basically China. So this is way offsetting their rumblings on trade and is allowing their exports to skyrocket. Same is true, actually, of a country like Germany, too, in Europe. So many of these countries getting a little bit of benefit there running through the things they make and the exports of those. So December exports, market thought they would be up 15% year-on-year in China. They're up 18.1% year-on-year. So very, very strong. And imports were quite strong to China as well. This is partly they need the raw materials to feed the large lift in industrial production, which is occurring in China at the moment. But part of their support programs to lift China out is a lot of urban renewal and building. And, of course, that demands an awful lot of steel. And so, they've been importing a lot of raw materials. And that's the part they can't lock off from us. It's one of the reasons why the iron ore price is still holding up. And so imports rose 6.5% year-on-year. They were expected to be up 5%. China will feature around lunchtime today because we'll get all their regular data, including Q4 GDP, one of the first countries to report Q4 GDP. In 2020, China was unique in the world, in the sense that it didn't have a proper recession. It only had one quarter of negative economic growth, the only major country that enjoyed just one quarter of negative growth. By Q2 2020, it was already starting to pull out because it was first into the COVID pandemic, and it was the first coming out. And so going back to Q3, already Chinese GDP on a year-on-year basis is well and truly positive. It was up 4.9% year-on-year. Today, they're expected to show that that's lifted further to 6.1% year on year. Now, that's compare and contrast with anybody, because any other country, even though we've had positive quarter-on-quarter numbers, such was the depth of recessions that year-on-year we're still down a long way. It's just about the only major economy in the world which has got positive annual economic growth, and big time. Some of the December monthly readings that will be coming out of China today too, we'll have things like fixed asset investment spending, which will lift, we think, from 2.6% year-on-year going back to November to 3.2% for the month of December. Industrial production was very high at 7% year-on-year going back to November, probably still close to that for December. The market consensus is 6.9%. And retail sales, which has been the one they've been trying to goad along, get to run faster, slowly lifting, and was at 5% year-on-year in November. You expect to lift to 5.5%. So the numbers out of China around lunchtime today, they expect to be pretty good. Turning to Australia, and you can see where the power of our economic recovery is coming from too. And you can see in some ways why it's been underestimated. The household sector has been spending up a storm in Australia, been locked up at home. So some of the things it's been doing is it's been spending on goods for the house, for renovations, and spending big time. Whenever the restrictions ease a bit, it gets out to the restaurants and the clubs and makes up for lost time. Regional tourism is just having a massive season, even though the borders have been locked down from time to time. Within their own states, people have been taking holidays that they would have taken outside of Australia in the past, in many cases. And so there's a lot of money that's been funneled back in. And we had the November retail trade number. We'd already had the preliminary reading of this, and it was up 7% month on month, over 13% year on year. And that 7% was revised up to 7.1%, and that was after a 1.4% increase in October. At the end of this coming week, we'll get the preliminary reading for December. There'll be a bit of a pullback, we think, because it's just at such a huge peak there in November. But still, over the quarter, it's going to be a massive lift in retail trade. And, of course, that feeds into household consumption expenditure and is part of this big boost for Australia. The other big boost, people here confounded all forecasts over the COVID period and beyond by saying, look, if I can't spend my money on overseas holidays, what I'm going to be doing is making sure that I live in the best possible house, and if I'm a renter, I'm going to try and get into a house. And so we had housing finance numbers came out at the end of last week for the month of November. Extraordinarily strong. The total value of housing finance commitments was up 5.6% month on month. It's up 23.7% year on year. It's a record high by a country mile now, $24 billion of housing finance commitments just for the month. Previously, if we got anywhere near 18 or 19, we thought it was extraordinary. So we're right in the stratosphere for housing finance commitments now. And it's being led by owner-occupier. Basically, the investment housing market is progressing, but quite slowly. And it's nowhere near as strong as it was a couple of years ago. The owner-occupier market is just massive now. And so owner-occupier commitments up 5.5% month on month, up 31.4% year-on-year. And inside that, it's first-time homeowners who are leading the charge. And the value of their commitments is up by 46.7% year-on-year. There's a lot of incentives in there for first-time home buyers, but it really is charging along. And so, that is certainly at the leading edge of economic activity. It's one of the reasons why just about everybody's forecasts are just lagging behind what's actually happening at the moment, and having to catch up all the time, just the power of this housing recovery coming through. This week in Australia, on Wednesday, we'll get January Westpac consumer sentiment, and that's expected probably to go sideways-ish because of some of the disruption to people's holiday plans through that school holiday period. But it was up 4.1% the month before. It's been up very strongly over the last 3 months. It's running at about a seven-year high at the moment, so it's still going to be pretty strong. On Thursday, we'll also get December employment, and market consensus on this one is that we'll have another 50,000 growth in jobs after 90,000 growth the month before. There was a bit more disruption running through the month of December, but still expected to see some jobs growth coming through. The participation rate, which had recovered to pre-COVID levels going back to November at 66.1%, probably edged up again to 66.2%. The unemployment rate probably edged down to 6.7 from 6.8. But broadly speaking, we're looking at Australia. You've got two factors which have lifted household disposable income way more than anybody expected. The first one was the government support programs, and the second one has been the much quicker than expected lift in employment. And so the combination of those has meant that every single quarter since Q1, we've had household disposable income lifting by over 3% quarter on quarter. They can't even spend all of that. So basically, they've been spending up a bit of a boom. But the household savings ratio has gone up as well. So there's a war chest there, which is going to carry well and truly into 2021. And on any lifting confidence, they're out there ready to spend big time. And so this is where the economic prospects here are quite good. But it's a bit like the US. At the moment, we're all in this mindset of interest rates stay lower for longer. You've got the Reserve Bank saying we're going to keep these interest rates down for 3 years at these low levels. Well, that's if their forecasts are right. And like everybody else's, their forecasts are way too pessimistic at the moment. And so that's something not for the next 6 months, but certainly into the second half of 2021, I can see a position starting to arise where people start to question completely the lower for longer for interest rates. It'll be a while before I start to lift my interest rate forecasts. Need a bit more data before we start to do that. But that's the way in which things may start to shift as we get into the second half of this year. And perhaps our customers should be starting to just prepare for what may happen, that the consensus that's literally everywhere about what's going to happen to interest rates at the moment is probably wrong. At some point in the future, they may need to prepare for that. Europe last week, we had the Centix Investor Confidence Survey. Even in Europe, where things have been awful as far as COVID's concerned, we had a lift of we lifted to plus 1.3 on the investor confidence from minus 2.7. Like everywhere else, industrial production's going through the roof as people buy goods. Countries like Germany really benefit from this. And so industrial production was expected to be up 0.2% in November. It was up 2.5%. That was after a 2.3% increase. These are month on month. So, these are factories just going ballistic, trying to supply at the moment. And their trade balance is still very, very strong for Europe. So it's at Euro $25.8 billion surplus. Not quite where the market expected at 26, but still very, very strong trade surplus. This week in Europe, we'll have you're going to hear a lot of noise around vaccinations and all these bits and pieces. But if anything, we're just getting over the top of this horrific lift that they've had in infection rates for COVID-19. It's partly the vaccinations are starting to catch up now with that and helping. But we also have an ECB meeting coming up on Thursday. No change in ECB policy other than that the ECB is still going to be very, very supportive of economic growth. And at the end of the week, we'll get some manufacturing and services sector PMIs coming out. The manufacturing PMI, strong, mid-50s, 54.6, we think, from 55.2. Services sector, nowhere near as strong, 45 from 46.4. But broadly speaking, you know, watching to see what happens this week. But you know, in some ways, it's beware the noise now, because even things like you know, the inauguration and the mess around that will at some point give way to the Biden administration's policy responses, which they can now put forward because they've got a clean sweep through the House there. And we've got these war chests everywhere where the household sectors have got a lot of savings which can be spent on any chance of better conditions.